Find out how your life story is interwoven with the life of Christ in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Life in Christ, Rooted, Woven, and Grafted into God's Story. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about life in Christ at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Life in Christ, Rooted, Woven, and Grafted into God's Story. You won't find churches with MTD on the side facing the street. You won't find people who say, well, I belong to the Moralistic Therapeutic Deistic Society. And yet, Moralistic Therapeutic Deism is probably the most common religion in our culture today. It is one that is imbibed by, well, people who claim to be religious and people who don't, Christians and people of other religious persuasions. What is Moralistic Therapeutic Deism, and is it compatible in any way with historic Christianity? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to discuss Moralistic Therapeutic Deism, Dr. Joel Bierman. He's professor of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, author of several books, including his latest Holy Citizens, God's Two Realms and Christian Engagement with the World, and a recent column on Moralistic Therapeutic Deism for the Lutheran Witness magazine. Dr. Bierman, welcome back.
Always good to be here.
Who first coined this term, Moralistic Therapeutic Deism?
It actually arose out of a study that was done by a researcher from Notre Dame named Christian Smith, and he had the help of his assistant, Melinda Lundquist-Denton. And the two of them did extensive research into the spiritual, religious lives of teenagers back in the late 1990s, and then published all their work in 2005. And so they're the ones who coined the term.
Why do you call it a heresy?
Well, heresy, basically, traditionally, technically understood, is simply a deviation of correct teaching that is so far off the truth that it becomes false teaching. And it's a false teaching that denies God's reality or denies some critical part of church teaching that would lead actually to putting you outside the church, would lead to loss of salvation. So there's a distinction to be made between what we would call heterodoxy and heresy, heterodoxy being you're still part of the church, but your teaching's not as sharp as it needs to be, whereas a heretic is completely outside the church. And the thing that makes us not just a false religion like Buddhism or Hinduism is the fact that this is a religion that has connections to Christianity and, in a sense, sort of grows out of Christian soil. And that's what makes it qualify for, as a heresy.
What is the creed of Moralistic Therapeutic Deism?
Well, Moralistic Therapeutic Deism is not an organized religion or a way of operating spiritually. It's sort of a label that is put on behaviors and thinking that are already in place. And so what Christian Smith did, he was a sociologist who did, as I mentioned, a very extensive study of thousands of teens and saw a recurrent theme going on all over the country from all sorts of religious backgrounds, prevalent among all American teens. And this recurrent commonality, he gave a label of Moralistic Therapeutic Deism and recognized five key attributes that are always at play in this basic understanding of this quasi-religion. And so the first point would be that there is a God who exists, who created the world and watches over human life. And then the second point would be God wants people to be good, nice, and fair to each other, like most religions teach and is taught us in the Bible. The third tenet or the third principle is that the central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. And that's the one I think is the most interesting for us to spend some time thinking about. The fourth one is God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life except when he is needed to solve a problem. Then the last one is that good people go to heaven when they die. And those are the key things that drive this heresy called Moralistic Therapeutic Deism.
Where do we see Moralistic Therapeutic Deism in our culture today?
I would say that this idea, this spirituality, is all over the place in our culture. It's sort of the presumed operating idea underneath most people's religious inclinations or their practices. going to church, maybe it's important, maybe it's not, but what's important is that you have some kind of connection with the spiritual truth that's out there, with God, that you're a decent person. So the insight of Smith is that this is, in a sense, the de facto religion that really drives and is at work in everybody's thinking. And so I would say that this shows up in the news media, it shows up from politicians, it shows up from your neighbors, it shows up from corporations. Everyone's thinking this way. And it's worth realizing that this is so pervasive that we see it happening just about every level of our culture. And I think that's a very fair assessment of its pervasiveness.
So where do we see moralistic therapeutic deism in particular in the church?
Well, that's where it makes a very interesting twist. Smith argues that moralistic therapeutic deism is not a replacement faith, but it becomes, in fact, the operative faith. So in other words, you could have a person who is, his entire life has been maybe a good Methodist, and he's always gone to church, his parents always went to church, his grandparents went to church, so he still goes to church. He finds it useful and helpful. And so he goes to church, and he says the creed, and he participates, and he prays, and he even observes all the Christian holidays. And yet, if you press him on what he really believes, he will actually start to express the tenets of moralistic therapeutic deism in contradiction to his own confession, for example, in the Apostles' Creed. Like, would you ask him, is Jesus the only way of salvation? He might say, well, of course not. Anybody who's good will go to heaven. And in fact, that's a contradiction of his own faith, but he doesn't care. He's going to church not because that's defining his religiosity, but for other reasons. And so Smith says that, in a sense, moralistic therapeutic deism operates very much like an invasion of the body snatchers, where on the outside, things look kind of the same. Everything's still looking like it always did, and yet inside things are very different. So at all levels of the church and in all denominations, moralistic therapeutic deism is in evidence, where you'll have people who will go to church, sing the liturgy, say the creed, sing the hymns, confess what they're supposed to confess about Jesus as the Son of God, that he rose from the dead, and they say all those things, and they believe all those things, and they'll even tell you, yes, religion is very important to me. I go every single Sunday, and they might go every single Sunday, and yet then when you ask them, now, what about your neighbor? He happens to be a Muslim. What's his situation? And he'll think, he'll say, well, my neighbor's a great guy. I talk to him all the time. He's solid. He's moral. So will he go to heaven? Well, yeah, he wouldn't go to hell. That'd be ridiculous that he'd go to hell. And then you ask him about, what's the point of life? Well, I just want to be happy. Where this really shows up is when you ask a parent, what do you want for your kids? Just want my kids to be happy. That's what's most important, wanting them to be happy. And so you'll see even good church-going people who will be participating in the life of the church, they could even be church member as officers and serving in the church, even they will operate with a de facto faith of moralistic therapeutic deism, that when it gets right down to it, they don't really think that their good neighbors are going to hell. They just don't think that. My own suspicion is I believe this moralistic therapeutic deism is even more pervasive than we recognize or would care to admit, because my experience has been a lot of very pious churchgoers, even in the Lutheran church, when you sit down and start talking to them about their neighbors, about the goal of life, about what God wants for them, and they'll start sounding just like a MTD's person, spouting out moralistic therapeutic deism ideas just like every good American does around them.
You're connected to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're discussing moralistic therapeutic deism with Dr. Joel Bierman of Concordia Seminary. Why for Life seeks to equip high school and college-age youth to be gospel-motivated voices for life. Why for Life encourages youth to engage in life-affirming activities and become leaders for life in their schools, communities, nation, and the world. Find out more about Why for Life at lutheransforlife.org, lutheransforlife.org. On the other side, what do we do the creed of moralistic therapeutic deism point by point? We'll respond to it with Dr. Joel Bierman. Then when we conclude that conversation, we will begin a series, Kids Have Questions. Questions on the afterlife to begin with Pastor Jonathan Connor.
Clap along, give.
Was the reformer Martin Luther innovating or in error when he added the word alone to Romans 3:28, for we hold that one is justified by faith alone, apart from works of the law? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. Journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Donna Harrison details her journey to confessional Lutheranism from Catholicism, Scientism, mysticism, and evangelicalism. The free online Issues Etc. Journal. Just click the red journal subscription button at issuesetc.org.
Are you looking for a confessional Lutheran church in Southeast Oakland County, Michigan, just north of Detroit? Ascension of Christ Lutheran has been proclaiming the gospel and administering the sacraments since 1951. Ascension of Christ Lutheran is also a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Join us for the Divine Service every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. in Beverly Hills, Michigan. You can also find us on the internet at ascensionofchrist.org.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Lutheran Talk.
The cause of our salvation doesn't lie within us, but instead it lies outside of us, namely in the mercy of our God who sends His Son to live and die and rise again for us.
Lutheran music. Listen anytime, anywhere with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you a young, single, confessional Lutheran looking for a future spouse or friends who share your faithful confession of Christ? St. John Lutheran Church in Sycamore, Illinois is hosting its second annual singles retreat on Saturday, August 5th. This retreat is for high school grads through age 30. Visit stjohnsycamore.org and select the Young Singles Retreat icon. That's stjohnsycamore.org.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open daily from 1 to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow, across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're discussing moralistic therapeutic deism with Dr. Joel Bierman, professor of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Bierman, before you talked about and you summarized that creed of moralistic therapeutic deism, how would you respond to it point by point?
Yeah, well, if we walk through it, we see that some of it's not too objectionable. There's a God who exists, who watches over the world. We agree. God created, and there he's providentially involved. So there's no problem there. And then God wants people to be good and nice and fair to each other. We would agree with that as well. There is a moral code that God expects for creatures, and that moral code applies to all creatures, Christian or non-Christian. Every human being should be living according to God's will. We would agree. That's what the law does. That's the commandments. So 2 out of 5, no problem. And as I mentioned when we went through the list the first time, things get interesting, though, with number 3. And that's where that the central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. And that's where things start to break down. In fact, the last 3 all are problematic. But I think the 3rd one is the most insidious, maybe the most dangerous, because point 3 is making this clear articulation, the goal of life is to be happy. And again, my experience is I'm not doubting that most people actually operate this way. I think they tend to. I think people assume God wants me to be happy. I've had people sitting across from me in counseling situations telling me, well, God wants me to be happy, doesn't he? I'm not happy in my marriage, so I need to get a divorce. And my response would always be, God never says anything about you being happy. That's not the goal of life. And that's shocking, frankly, to a lot of people, even a lot of Christians. They're shocked to hear that God doesn't care if they're happy because they're convinced that's the whole goal of life, isn't it? And so I think we need to work a lot harder in the church at helping to teach the basic idea that the goal of life is not to be happy. The goal of life is to follow Christ, to serve your neighbor, and to be faithful to God's direction. That's the goal of life. And there's nothing about happiness in there. So I think that's a critical one, this idea of feeling happy and feeling good about yourself. That's the therapeutic aspect. And the therapeutic aspect ties into a much wider picture about American society that has been critiqued and recognized probably for 50, 60 years. Philip Reif was a sociologist who really did some groundbreaking research into this idea of what he called the therapeutic, the idea that modern man, especially in the West, especially in the American context, he was studying, and he was writing all this in the 50s and 60s, 1950s and 60s. Philip Reif said that the reality is that man today simply wants to feel good about himself. The goal is not to have intellectual knowledge. The goal is not even necessarily to be financially successful. The goal is just simply to be happy, to feel good, to have good entertainment, good circumstances, to feel good about your own self. That's the therapeutic. And what Christian Smith is doing is he's recognizing how pervasive this has become, even in the church, even in people's spirituality, that they now simply take for granted that feeling good about my E, liking me, you be you, you know, just be yourself. This is the mantra. This is the guiding creed of our culture. And so now we find a religion that supports it. That's what's going on with MTD. So number 3 is just huge. The 4th one, God isn't particularly involved except when you need him. That's where the deism comes in. But as I mentioned in the article, that the deism is a slightly modified because obviously traditional deism taught that God created and hands off and never gets involved again. This is a deism that says, well, God created and he's still involved, but most of the time, not so much. He's only there when you need him, when you want him. So when you want to party and get a little bit rowdy, God doesn't care. And when you want to violate his commands about sexuality and enjoy the pleasures of sexual freedom, God doesn't care. So long as you're not hurting somebody, so long as you're not being a jerk. But when you have a need and grandma needs healing for cancer or the baby needs help because she's got this terrible disease, now you can pray and now God will step in and do his God stuff and he'll give a miracle if you pray hard and get the right people praying and if your heart's right, then he can help out. And when you have a little concern or you get afraid, pray to God. He'll help out. So God becomes the genie who steps in when you need him, or the 911 faith, where you dial 911 and he always answers on the first ring. He doesn't put you on hold and he comes to the rescue and he does what he needs to do. That's what God does for you. Otherwise, he doesn't care. He just stays out of the way. And if you're just enjoying life and having fun and not hurting anybody intentionally, God doesn't care. That's the 4th tenet. Obviously, Christians have big problem with that because God is very involved, but he's also very involved by having a standard and expecting people to follow that. Then the 5th tenet, the last one, good people go to heaven when they die. Widespread faith in our contemporary culture. Most people just assume this. If there is a heaven, who goes there? good people. And good people are those who are trying their best with what they've got, who are not being jerks, who aren't being nasty. And they are just decent people. And that's most people that everybody knows. So who's going to hell? Only the really bad people. Clearly, this teaching or this idea violates Christian truth, which is explicit when Jesus says in John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There's no wiggle room. He's the one and only way. So good people who don't know his grace are lost. And we all know that basic Christian truth. So moralistic therapeutic deism falls short in all the critical areas. It has some parts of Christian truth, which we recognize, which is why it's a Christian heresy, because it grows out of Christian soil, but then it blossoms into this mess that is based far more on American ideas and on what makes everybody feel good and aiming at this therapeutic goal. That becomes the driver.
And did you deal with the fifth point?
Yeah, the fifth point being just the idea that good people go to heaven when they die, that this makes sense to people, but we know, in fact, that the only way to heaven is through Christ alone.
So how does moralistic therapeutic deism relate to what we have called American civil religion, which for more than a century was essentially Protestantism, a Calvinistic kind of Protestantism, and is edging, at least in my opinion, toward Buddhism? How do the two fit together?
Well, moralistic therapeutic deism and American civil religion are not the same thing. Smith does a nice job working this through in his book as he's kind of processing this, and he's doing it with the skill of a good sociologist, thinking about how culturally things work and hold together. And his assessment is that on the top of everything in America is this idea, this kind of American civil religion, that God watches over America. America is God's chosen nation, and that we are fighting for just causes, and freedom is important, and freedom is the creed of our American civil religion. And that kind of just holds everything together. So the politician can say, God bless America, and we know what he's talking about, and we can sing the Star Spangled Banner, and we can say the Pledge of Allegiance, and we recognize that God and America just all run together. That's that American civil religion, and that binds us together, especially in times of crisis. After the 9/11 attacks, now 22 years ago, that was prominent, where American civil religion kicked in again. And everybody kind of just felt this camaraderie and this sense of purpose. So that runs over the top of everything. Then underneath that is all the organized religions at work in the culture around us, where people now, we have, by the fact that I'm an American, I'm part of this American civil religion. And then I might be part of an organized religion, Jewish, Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist, Buddhist, Muslim, whatever. All of these organized things, those are my personal things, and they have community responsibilities and all that kind of stuff. So that's there. Then underneath that is a third level, and that third level, he says, is where MTD operates. MTD finds this wonderful coalescing where, regardless of my organized religion, we all come together in our MTD. So Muslims and Catholics and Jews and Methodists and Lutherans can all agree on these basic ideas of more or less therapeutic deism in spite of their official organizations they belong to. Then he even goes to a fourth level underneath even that, which is the very personal, my own idiosyncratic faith, what I personally believe in myself, which might be even more specific, but then I will operate with this MTD for the sake of everybody else, go to my church, and then I'm a good American, and so I operate at that level. So he sees, in fact, four layers, and I think he's very insightful in how most people function with religion and how it works in these kind of four different ways, these four different layers. And MTD, he would argue, fills a very important space by providing this sort of jellying area where we can all agree. And so I can go to the funeral at some other denomination. It doesn't matter because I know we all basically believe the same things. And those same things are MTD sort of stuff, which is different than civil religion. Civil religion is pretty minimal. That just basically provides the glue that holds a country together, provides a spiritual kind of marking point that we can rally around together as a nation. That's what civil religion does. Civil religion doesn't really provide answers about questions about what happens when you die. It's not interested in that. Civil religion is interested in keeping the country cohesive and giving it a moral justification for what it does.
You say the great danger of moralistic therapeutic deism is that it makes so much sense. What do you mean?
Yeah, it just resonates with what we're used to in the Western culture. Being happy, Well, yeah, of course. Being happy is important. That's the most important thing. Nobody even questions that. Everybody just takes it for granted. It's just an assumption. Happiness is the goal. And so that makes sense. And then good people. Well, what makes you good? Well, you're not a jerk. You're nice. He does generous things. Those are nice people. We like people like that. They make the world better. And so those people should be rewarded for what they do. So they would obviously be rewarded with heaven. That just makes sense. And the idea that somehow who you believe in some kind of a magical way that you say Jesus and you're going to get saved, come on, that doesn't make sense. What makes sense to them is doing the right thing. It gets rewarded. So MTD pushes all of the right buttons. It's reasonable. It makes sense. It's easy to get along with. It's not discriminatory. There's room for gays. There's room for transsexuals. There's room for foreigners. There's room for everybody in MTD, and nobody gets left out because we're not an exclusive creed. It's very inclusive. It just makes sense. It just resonates with the things that seem to matter to modern people, especially modern Americans.
Is moralistic therapeutic deism compatible in any way with Christianity?
No. No, that's why it's a heresy. That's the insidious thing is people think, well, I'm going to church. I still believe in Jesus. I just think that my neighbor also can have salvation. There's something wrong with that, is there? And too often in the church, we aren't clear to say, yes, there's something very wrong with that. Because if you're denying Christ as the only way of salvation, you're not acknowledging Christian truth, and your confession is already compromised. So no, MTD is not compatible with Christianity in any way. Christianity is exceedingly exclusive. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's exclusive. Christians know this. Christians need to confess this. So any Christian who's following Christ is not able to accommodate MTD and is not interested in doing so.
Dr. Joel Bierman is professor of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. He is author of several books, including his latest, Holy Citizens, God's Two Realms and Christian Engagement with the World, and a recent column on moralistic therapeutic deism for the Lutheran Witness magazine. You can receive an annual digital and print subscription to the Lutheran Witness magazine for less than $20. Learn more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Witness magazine. Dr. Bierman, thanks.
It's been my pleasure. God's blessings.
When we come back, we'll begin a series, Kids Have Questions, questions about the afterlife to begin with. Pastor Jonathan Connor will be our guest.
So that whole Old Testament, then even the New Testament, can be seen as like, where is this promised child?
Dr. Adam Filipik, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July, Life in Christ, Rooted, Woven, and Grafted into God's Story.
Who's going to crush the head of the serpent and give us back the very presence of God, that land that we dwelt with God in, no sorrow, no suffering, no sin, no death, but in his presence permanently.
Learn more about life in Christ at issuesetc.org.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Our church loves and is grateful for those that serve our country. Operation Barnabas, part of Ministry to the Armed Forces, equips you to reach out to veterans in your community to bring Christ to those that served. Call Ministry to the Armed Forces at 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
God bless our military.
The light of God's Word in a world of darkness. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In a city known for the latest in songwriting and the performance of music, we offer the sweet sound of the timeless gospel and the historic liturgy in worship. Redeemer Lutheran Church in Nashville, Tennessee is a place where God's people receive the gifts of Christ and sing praises with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. If you are vacationing in Music City or are moving to the area, please join us for divine service at 10:30. Find out more at RedeemerNashville.org.
Memoria Press award-winning Latin programs have successfully taught hundreds of thousands of students across the world. Their easy-to-use, step-by-step Latin curriculum provides students with an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and strong critical thinking skills. If you're interested in learning more, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR23. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.